Hello.
It's been a long time.
It's the getting towards the end of wedding season, jaded snapping.
I just yawned all the way through that.
Oh wow, I'm recording on your track. Oh well.
Oh, that'll be all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, man, I'm very tired.
It's like this. It's like a deep tired, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you can sleep really well, but then, yeah, it's quite an interesting phenomenon.
I shot two weddings late last week, and then straight after went and had three and a half days away with like my old school chums.
Ah, that's when I texted you. Yeah, you were on the Terps.
We did a big one of these big New Zealand walks.
Oh no way!
Yeah, the what's it called, the Cape Brett walk.
Googling now,
which is up north. There's a big lighthouse. It was really nice.
So, was it a camping? Like you camped in between?
They have a hut out there, so you can just stay at the hut. So we didn't have to carry too much gear, but man, the walk was just up and down, up and down.
Oh,
there was
really?
No flat, and so it was hard. They say you need to be an experienced walker, and we were just like, whatever. Yeah, it was hard work.
So that when you texted me that, I pictured you at a pub, like a dark pub, just getting absolutely hammered. But it turns out we weren't doing that.
We were walking. I think it was, they say 16 kilometers, but by the time like you, that was to the top of the last hill, and then it's another kilometer or so down to the hut, and it was a kilometer from the car park to the start of the walk, and we worked out that it was about 20 kilometers a day of actual walking,
and it was two nights.
Yeah, it was one night at the hut, but two full, like you walk in and walk out, so it was like 40 k's total walking.
Wow,
so it was full on, man.
That sounds really fun, actually. I mean. Yeah, punishingly very good. Fun.
It was nice, and it's good to do something where there's something else. I don't know. It's not just you and your mates sitting around.
Yeah,
there's actually like something to experience.
Yeah,
yeah. So it was really good, but it's contributed vastly to my tiredness. And I've got to drive tomorrow. I've got a nice wedding just right in town.
That your idea, baby.
Oh man.
But then tomorrow, oh no, that's so tomorrow I got a wedding in town, and then on Saturday I've got a wedding that's like as far north as you can go, like 4.5 hours north or something. So somehow I've got to get there in between.
What's that place called?
Oh, I don't even know. 90 Mile Beach is where it's near.
You know, I like Googling when you tell me you have weddings in places, right? Like, oh yeah, Northland. Oh, it's pretty.
I'll
oh man, it's like literally at the top of New Zealand.
Pukenui.
Yeah.
Put in P-U-K-E.
That's what my dad used to call me when I was a kid.
Pukenui?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what it is.
I don't know. Doesn't it mean like fat belly or something?
Puku.
Maybe. Pukenui, there we go.
Puku. Is it, how far is that? Is it very far?
Yeah. Well, it's like almost at Cape Ranga, which apparently is the northern point.
Cape Reinga. People say Cape Reinga, but it's Cape Reinga. Yep, so I've got to go. Yeah, wow, it's way up.
So you're driving this on Saturday morning or on Friday night?
I'll do half Friday night, half Saturday morning.
I'm doing something really similar this weekend. So this is an interesting discussion, actually. So how long is the drive from your Friday wedding to that place?
I'll put it into Google right now. The cool thing about Google Maps is I can just type my name and it's like, do you mean Greg Campbell Wedding Photography? Okay, so, 3 hours 42. That's not as far as I thought.
Okay, so that's a similar, I have a similar drive to my, I've got a wedding tomorrow in Bowral and the next day in Mudgee, which is
Mudgee.
Have you been to Mudgee?
No. Nah.
Okay, you know where it is?
No. Nah.
you said it with like a level of recognition. Like, has he been to Mudgee? But it's kind of past the Blue Mountains, so I think it's 4 hours. But I'm never sure if I should do half the drive after my Friday wedding and the rest on Saturday morning, or if I should just like have a solid early night after Friday and then drive the whole thing on Saturday. Mm. Yeah, because you know, flat tire and who knows.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna do the whole thing.
So you undecided?
No, I'm gonna drive the whole thing Saturday morning.
Okay.
Because I don't start till 3.
Oh, that's all right.
You know?
I think I'll be starting at 12.
Now that's an early start for a long drive, isn't it?
Yeah, so I am going to shoot my wedding on Friday and then basically just go get straight in the car and drive to Kat's parents' place, which is halfway there.
Oh, and then, right. And stay there. And that's a good idea.
Yeah, and do the second leg in the morning. And then after that wedding on Saturday, I'd probably just reverse it. I'll just come back to her parents' place and then come home Sunday morning. It'll be a big weekend. I'll be knackered. But the nice thing is, so I've been shooting doubles all year. The nice thing is next weekend, I've got 1 4-hour wedding. That's it.
Oh, how good is that?
It's like a holiday.
It is winding down. I find it starts to wind down now a little bit for the season. Yeah. I mean, with me, it's different this year because of our overseas trip, but I'm looking at my diary now and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 more weddings before we go overseas, which is on the 6th of May.
Nice.
Yeah, and 3 of those... Well, one weekend I have no weddings because I'm getting my wisdom teeth out. I think I've told you.
Oh,
that.
Oh, right, finally.
So I've set aside a weekend of just no weddings. But it's gonna be nice to have a break, man.
I've got 9 up until the 6th of May, and then I've got 1 extra wedding on the 19th of May. So I got 10 weddings to go, and then we go leave for Europe.
Then
on
you're
the
21st off as well.
Of May.
Everyone's in Europe.
Yeah.
All the cool kids.
Looking at my calendar, though, tomorrow and the next day, it's my last back-to-back.
So good.
Then I got 2 weeks of singles. Yes.
Yes.
And then 1 weekend where I've got a Thursday and a Saturday. And then just singles on another Thursday, Saturday. Mm. At least Thursdays, they're really good.
Do you find lots of people are sick over there right now because of the weather change or not really?
No, we've not really had much of a weather change so far. It's very, very gradual. And no, I haven't experienced many people being sick. Oh, are you experiencing that?
So many people are sick here, yeah. Heaps of my friends are sick and everyone's coughing. Oh. I've managed to avoid it, which is good.
Okay.
But I don't know, this time of the year, us weak Australians, when it stops being 30 degrees, everyone's like, oh no.
Got to get the doona out.
The doona. Hey, I have some interesting snapdowns.
Oh, do you?
Should we
cue snapdown jingle now? Tom, do it
in
post-production.
I might double it up so it's even longer. Ugh. I might do 2 loads of the snapdown jingle.
I apologize to our listeners.
Hey yo, make sure so you tune in, you know you have to tune in, cause guess what, the thing mad a white name, the Snapdown.
No, my selector.
Do you want to go first, or should I go?
Oh, you know what? I suppose I could rub it on a little bit.
No, I don't feel you have to, man. But
hey, I need to just say hello to someone.
Oh yeah, sure.
Hello to Laura, our friend from Finland.
Oh, Laura, hi Laura.
She came. Did I tell you she stayed with me a while ago?
She told me she was going to see you, but I don't think we've talked since that happened.
It was ages ago, and I just completely forgot to tell you. And she said that she always listens to the podcast.
No way.
Yeah. She's like, oh, it's just so nice to hear you guys.
You know, when I think of people who are just so friendly and never change and are always happy and smiling, you know, I she just comes to mind like, isn't she like the happiest person?
Mm. Yep, I think so.
She's so awesome.
This really cool thing happened. So she and her buddies came and stayed with us, and then they went out on a dive boat.
Mm-hmm.
And some old friends of mine from school were on the dive boat. And somehow it like Laura told them, oh, we're staying with a guy in Mungify. And they were like, oh, who's that? And she's like, oh, Greg. And they were like, oh, not Greg Campbell. And so just like that, they were like, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool, eh?
How cool is it that they went on like a camping, like hiking adventure around, not around New Zealand, but you know, they did certain parts of New Zealand.
It was cool.
Those
was
fins, really, really great. Those fins do really cool stuff.
Yeah, they do. They do. And New Zealand's so far from Finland.
Oh, it's, well, I was going to say polar opposite, not literally, but
it's close.
It's
we were talking
away.
About that actually. Yeah. Because you know what the polar opposite is of New Zealand?
No.
It is Spain.
Spain. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Hey, I've been meaning to ask you, Tom. This is totally not related to anything. How well do you speak Italian?
Well, it's not as well as I speak Spanish. Really well. Like when I'm there after a few days of sort of getting back into it, it's pretty good. I can pretty much converse about anything. I can understand everything. I'm not as absolutely fluent as I am in Spanish, though. Spanish is almost like not a first language, but I don't have to put any thought into it at all. Whereas my Italian requires a bit more. What the hell did that guy just say? But I'd say I'm still fluent, but just not as competent as I am with Spanish.
Okay, cool. Mm. That's cool. How long were you there for?
I was there for 8 months in Italy.
I'm learning Italian using these audiobooks.
Nice.
They're actually really, really great. I'm more of a visual learner, but it's quite good to just put it on. I have it in the car and just talk away to the man on the audiobook.
Do you know the hard thing about learning Italian is it's so similar to Spanish that it really throws you off, I find?
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to being in the moment and speaking Italian, because I did that with French. I learned French and then I just spoke Spanish the whole time by accident because my brain would default to Spanish.
Totally. I had the same issue, yeah. But it's cool that you're learning, eh?
I like it a lot. It's a fun language. I think if I had learned Italian first, I probably would have, like, before Spanish. Like, to me, now Italian makes a lot more sense than Spanish does. I think it's a more simple language to learn than Spanish.
Really?
Like, just a couple of things. I don't know
if I'd I don't know where I stand.
But it's funny because I think, I'm going to learn Italian and forget Spanish. But then I start thinking about how would I say this in Spanish, and it's just right there.
Yep.
It's just ready to go.
Yep. That muscle memory, hey?
Okay, well, you better do a snap down because I have got next to nothing.
We're so flat today. Sorry, everyone. It's that type. But, you know, I feel... Okay, I'm assuming the majority of people who listen, apart from our friend Laura, are going to be wedding photographers or wedding people. But I think if you're in the wedding industry, you'll understand. Like right now, you do get a little jaded.
Unless you're one of those North American types, and then you're just rearing to go right now.
Get into it.
Just waiting for that ice to melt. Get out there.
So my first snap down is I acquired the new Sony 24mm GM, the 1.4.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really, really loving it. I didn't think it would be that different to the Batis 25, which is F2. But I've really noticed the difference straight away, even looking through the viewfinder, how bright it is with 1.4. Yeah, it's awesome. I took it to an engagement shoot. With shoots, I really like to challenge myself, and I'll often say to myself, I'm going to go into this shoot only using these two particular lenses.
Sure.
Like lenses that I don't always use, or combinations that I don't always use. So on this particular shoot, I just used the 24 and the 85. And it was weird at the start because I was so used to defaulting to the 35 and the 85. And I had to kind of twist my brain into not having that focal length available.
Sure.
Even though 24 and 35 is really similar, it's vastly different when you try and take a shot. Like you can't really do the same shots because I find... largely because of the vignetting and the weird, it's just so wide, you know, the 24.
Yeah.
Although you don't have a 24 at all, do you, or 25?
I've got the 16 to 35. So
okay.
When I go wide, yeah.
You go ultra wide.
But I never use that for general shooting. It's only for portrait, for like family photos and a big group shot.
Well, so I guess my snap down, yeah, in summary, the 24 1.4 G Master is awesome. It's really light. It's about 400 grams. It's very small, very portable. It feels really solid. It's extremely sharp, wide open. I really, really like shooting with it. So I'm going to get rid of the Batis 25 and yeah.
Nice. Get into Batis 25 is going to go, because that's only F2. Two, yeah.
Like, I know it's not a big difference, but when you're at a dark reception and you at F2, you're going to shoot at 12,800 ISO. Or at f1.4, you're going to be at 6,400. So it just give you a big, big difference when it is dark.
You know, I notice there are a couple of Facebook posts, maybe 2 weeks ago, people saying, oh, they've got a Canon I think one lady was saying she had a Canon 5D Mark IV and a 6D Mark II or even Mark I, and she was wondering if she should wait to get the new Canon mirrorless or whatever. So it became a whole big talk about what people are doing with regard to upgrading.
Yeah.
A lot of people still out there are saying things like, oh yeah, I'm just waiting for Canon to bring out a good mirrorless with 2 card slots and I'll upgrade to that. It's incredible the faith people have or the...
Yeah.
The like staying
blind
power.
Faith. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was in there like, nah.
Well, I think we both
just
were.
Just go Sony.
We both... Oh, you wrote there, did you?
Yeah.
I was going to say... Like at the start, I was one of those ones with blind faith, like, oh, you know, I'll just wait. But I think it's people who haven't actually used like a Sony who are in that camp.
Yeah, it really surprised me. I kind of like thought by now, because Canon have really stuffed it, I reckon, now. I mean, it's just been so long since a camera has been available that appeals to me as a wedding photographer, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And, you know... Anyway. If two out of two of us are just like, it's the card slot thing is just an absolute, it's just an absolute killer, you know?
Mm.
Even though there are lots of professionals who are okay with it, and that's fine, but it's not a risk that I would be willing to take.
No. Hey, so can I lower the tone significantly?
Is this a snap down or is this just a general?
No, this has to be a snap down because we cannot waffle about this.
I'm ready.
Okay, a warning to everyone listening. The tone is about to be lowered way down.
Uh-oh. I'll insert some sad music or some gloomy music.
You'll know the kind of music to insert once you hear about this.
Okay,
Tom. How good is it when you've finished a wedding? Okay, you're all done.
Yeah.
You get in your car.
Yeah.
Your gear's all the way. You start the engine. You start driving. And you do that first fart. After a day.
Oh my god. Hey man, I've always trusted you.
I warned you about the tone.
I've always believed in you to be truthful and, you know, speak the hard truth, man.
I've actually written this down as a point to talk.
Are you saying that you hold them in and don't just go outside and crop dust or something? Are you serious?
I mean... You have to just do what you can. Like I'll take every advantage to do a bit of crop dusting, but sometimes, you don't realize and you get in the car and it's just like you unleash.
No, but yeah. Well, I don't know what to say. You destroy your poor Subaru.
Yeah. Oh man, that seat.
That's. God. Do you when you get in the car, do you take your shoes off?
First almost thing I do. Never.
What?
If I've been on a sandy beach and I've got sand in my shoes, then I'll probably take them off. But no, if I've just got a regular drive, nah.
I hate driving with shoes on.
Yeah? Do you wear flip-flops?
No, that's even more dangerous. They get stuck under the pedals.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just go, yeah.
Just go bare feet.
Well, Greg, do you have any actual snap down or do you just want to pollute this podcast with more profanities and disgustingness?
Man, I reckon that's pretty much me. Oh, I crashed my drone.
Oh,
is that a topic?
That's a great topic. Hang on. This isn't a snap down. This is a topic.
Nah.
All right.
I don't want to get into it. It's so embarrassing.
What happened? Go.
My friend Dave was over from Canada and I was like, hey bro, do you want to like have a go with my drone? He's like, yeah man. And he's being very cautious and I was like, you can fly it a bit faster than that. And you can like go low, go high, whatever. And he's like, yeah, he was flying. He was comfortable. And then it came up, you know, battery low, which is like 30%, no worries. And he was like, here, take it off me. You could tell he was like, not very comfortable. It's like, all good bro. And I like flew it. So this is just on our deck. Flew it back in, you know, like went straight between two trees. It was like, whew, really good. Dave's like, really? I could tell Dave was impressed with
you're a good
drone
pilot.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. And I fly it. And we've got these big poles that one of them holds, they hold the shade sail outside of our deck. And it just comes in and just goes whack into the pole. And that would have been all right. But then there's a wire with some, it's one of those fairy lights. Anyway, so it hits the fairy light and just goes straight down and hits the deck. Mm. And there's like a mounting bracket that holds the camera in place.
Oh, like on the drone, on the gimbal thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's completely like bashed off.
Ouch.
So it was pretty embarrassing.
So it doesn't work right now.
No, I've ordered, it was only $25 to order the replacement part. But I have no idea when that's going to arrive. They said early April, so.
Okay.
Yes, a little bit embarrassing, Tom.
Does your drone not have the collision avoidance and stuff? I guess it doesn't.
It does have all that stuff. It's like the Mavic Pro, but I was just going, it was way too fast. It didn't have a chance.
It couldn't pull up.
No.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I was like, oh, damn it.
Damn it. You feel heaps stupid, eh?
But I think I'm going to get that other one, the Mavic 2
Pro. The Pro 2, yeah, yeah.
Because I want that bigger sensor.
Yeah, they're so good.
I've been busting out the drone a bit lately, and it's really good. But yeah, the images, you need that, at least that 1-inch sensor.
It's funny, like I'm still using my Mavic Air, which has a really tiny sensor for all my drone shots. I mean, all I do is put them on Instagram. I don't blow them up.
Yeah, right.
And the good thing about the little Mavic Air is so small that you can literally put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
But the Mavic, the new Mavic would be amazing.
Yeah, I like it. And man, the new one can fly at 72 kilometers per hour.
That's a beast, eh?
I could really hit some poles with that.
I have one more snapdown.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. Have you heard of a website called GT Metrics?
No.
Okay. I want you to go to this site. Oh.
Right,
the snapdown song just started.
Oh.
Bit late, mate.
Snap.
Go to gtmetrics.com.
Metrics
with an
I-C-K-S.
No, with an X.
X.
Metrics, yep.
I found it.
Okay, my friend, I want you to put your website in.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And before you click go, before you click analyze, click the little arrow on the right, like the options arrow, and change the test URL to like Sydney, Australia. Don't do it in... do you see what I mean?
No, I can't see what you're talking about.
Okay, let me reload the page. Maybe you have to...
Analyze your site speed and make it faster.
Is there no analysis options on the right?
Oh, yeah. Analyze. Oh, no. I just hit analyze.
Oh, that's fine. It'll still give you a good idea. So it's analyzing?
Yep. Analyzing. Test server region, Vancouver.
It's still going to give you an indication. It just won't be as maybe accurate because it's from far away.
Is there like a sweet number that it spits out and I can compare it to yours?
Mate. I have spent so much time on this site in the last month. A bunch of us kind of went crazy with it. And
whoa. Okay, Tom. Oh, boy.
What do you got, mate? Okay. Ready?
Page speed score. Is that the big one?
That's the big one.
Well, I scored a D.
Ooh, what number?
67%.
What about your Y slow score?
C, 72%.
Yeah, see, and down below under the recommendations, what are the red ones? There'll be a few things giving you that really slow score. Is one of them what gzip compression or what optimize images?
Defer parsing of JavaScript.
Yep.
Grade F.
Yep.
Enable gzip.
Yeah, gzip.
Compression. They're like zero.
Yeah.
But all my others are really good.
So yeah, I did this and I had a really low score too, like mid-50s. And I did a bit of digging and I was easily able to get to what I am now, which is 93% page speed score. And my Y-slow is 81%.
So this is like a whole thing. What is the gzip? Does it tell you how to improve that?
Well, I can tell you. So
do you want to go through that now?
Well, yeah, it's actually really easy. Well, if you're a techie/super nerd person, you can probably do it maybe yourself. But a lot of times, apparently, you need to contact your web host. So I emailed Quadro, who's my web host, and I said, can you please enable gzip compression on my site? And they wrote back, yes, we've done this now. And suddenly my score jumped a lot.
Okay.
And then my other thing I had to do was a lot of my images weren't compressed enough.
Okay.
So I started using a plugin called, I'm just logging in right now to my website. Plugin, install plugin. Because do you use anything to compress your images like before you upload them to your site? Did you use like JPEG Mini?
I use JPEG Mini for everything, but I did used to go through a phase where anything that was kind of on the home page, I'd make sure was a certain size.
Okay.
So I could guarantee, you know, the load time.
That's very intelligent. So everything that I run, everything that I put onto my site and all my images that I put anywhere actually go through JPEG Mini. But I am using an app now called Short Pixel Image Optimizer.
Okay.
It just does a bit more crunching. It's a plugin. And you install it and you run it in the background and it compresses more. Warning, you probably shouldn't use this if you've already run your images through JPEG Mini, because it's like double compression, which could result in image quality loss. However, I did that. I ran it through twice, and Gavin reckons he can see like the compression issues on my photos on my website, but I don't think I can, and also I don't think any bride can, or bride or groom, so whatever.
Okay.
So I ran that plugin, and I managed to get my score up even more. And then what else did I have? I think I had leverage browser caching was one of the ones which I had a problem with.
Okay.
And I Googled that and I found a problem and I fixed that. The defer parsing of JavaScript, I don't even know what that is. Anyway, it was pretty easy to get my page speed up really high. So yeah, now the question is, does it really matter? And I don't know. is there a practical difference? Will Google rank me higher because my page speed is better? I don't know.
It is a factor.
I think it is technically, but you know, sometimes I did read one article that said that GT metrics, yes, they'll tell you certain things you can do better on your site, but a lot of them, practically speaking, don't result in a practical speed boost or a practical change in, you know, Google rankings. So not to get too caught up on it.
Okay.
But it's still interesting to look at this, put your site in and be like, oh, you know, it allows you to figure out what things maybe you can tweak to make your site overall a little faster.
Yeah, it's good to
know. So I suggest you all do that.
It's been a while since I spent some time on like the nuts and bolts of my website.
Well, same for me. And so I think it's good to do sometimes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, snap downage. Okay, so something I wanted to ask you about, Tom.
Tell me, Gregory.
Because this happened to me recently. Actually, it's happened a few times here and there, but just recently it really, really happened. And it made me think, do I need a strategy for this?
Mm.
What happens when you're at a wedding and things are going pretty well, but then just either the bride or the groom, but usually I think this is more about the bride, is just over photos. She's like, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm out of here. Let's just go back to the reception or whatever. Or you can just tell by her body language that she's just not into it. She's either got other things on her mind or she's, you know, she's just over it. And I say the bride because, to be fair, the groom is often over it. And that's just like, you just have to be like, come on, dude, just get through this. Just a couple more shots. But when the bride's over it, would you agree it's a little bit different? It's a bit more serious?
Yeah. Generally speaking, in my experience, if there's a bride and a groom, then the bride has done the majority of the planning, the organizing, and has a stronger view of what she wants in terms of, like, she chose the photographer, she likes her photos. You know, I agree with you. It's generally I would agree. The groom's generally more just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't love this, but I'll do it because she wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you do, man, like when you can tell the bride's not into it?
Well, Greg.
Or has it happened to you?
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
Okay.
I've had a few really, actually, that's a really good, really good topic. I've had a few interesting experiences. Okay. So, old me from 5 years ago. Let's say I'm 30 minutes into the portrait. You're talking about the portraits, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if it's just the ceremony and like the reception, you just do your thing and whatever.
Yeah.
So, old me five years ago, 30 minutes into portraits, if I'm getting that vibe that the bride and the groom are over it, old me would start stressing, I haven't got enough portraits. These guys need to give me more time. How can we finish now? I haven't got enough. I need, the light's amazing. And old me would pretty much stress and try and convince the couple to let me keep shooting with them. Let's just do this more. Come on, we need some more. Come on, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. New me, as soon as I sense that the couple are, or that the bride is not into photos, I talk to them and I'm like, look, you know, this is your wedding. I want you to have fun. The most important thing about today is that you have fun. We've been going for whatever, 20, 30 minutes. I've got some nice photos. If you want to head back in, that's totally fine. And I tell them, and I think I'm pretty good at gauging people's vibe. And I tell them, and I mean it. If you guys don't want to do this, let's just go. Like, I've got a few photos. Like, how much do you need? You don't need that many. And so if I get a positive reaction from that, like if I get the vibe that they want to go back, I don't care at all. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like,
yeah, nice.
I realized, man, that when I go into a wedding, I have a notion in my head, like a goal of how many, like more or less how many photos I want to give them, or how much time that I need to spend on each section of the day to deliver what I usually deliver, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of realized a month or so ago that this is all in my head, and that the couple don't share, they can't possibly know what I'm thinking because I haven't told them. I haven't said to them, like, I put pressure on myself to spend an hour and a half with you and to give you 150 or 200 different photographs from the portrait shoot. So even at the start of the day where I'm mentally planning in my head, this is how long I need for portraits, they have no idea. And for all I know, they could be satisfied with 10 portraits of themselves, right? Or yeah. 5 or whatever. And so when they start to show signs of fatigue or just that they're over it, they just want to party and drink and whatever, what I've kind of learned and taught myself to do is not care at all. Like, that's totally fine. As long as I know I've got enough to put in an album, like I've got a few different backdrops and a few different poses and styles of photos, and I'm happy with what I've got, a few for my Instagram, that's fine. I have no problem. I just cut it short, cut the portrait shoot short, and let's go.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
What do you reckon?
It's interesting saying how, like, you've changed as you've come along, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And also, I think the other reason I've changed is that I've realized that great wedding photography isn't just great portraits. It's great overall coverage of the whole day, including moments from, you know, prep and reception and stuff like that. Whereas old me kind of, for some reason, had in my head that the portraits were like the high point of the day. And that was where I had to really shine and had to sort of milk the most time and do my best job and really swing my weight around. Whereas, yeah, I just don't think it's like that now. I think people want an even amount of coverage from the day, and that some of the most special photos that we can take in our fly-on-the-wall position are moments that we don't curate. They're like naturally occurring stuff.
I've been trying a lot, thinking more a lot recently about trying to make that portrait session less of a departure from the wedding itself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, a lot of the time it's like everything's cruisy. You go with the flow, and then it's portrait time and it's very staged, very, sure, very formal.
Sure.
And I'm trying to make it so it's not like that. I don't know.
Have you had any sort of approaches?
The way I try to do it is I try to let people know before, like, I start doing the portrait session, how it's going to go. I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do all the girls, I'm going to do all the boys or whatever, and then I'm going to do everyone together, whatever it's going to be, whatever I have in my head, so that they can be like, sweet, and I can say, so boys, have a beer now, I'll do the girls, and I'm like, girls, have a wine, whatever, now we're going to do everyone, and we're out. So it's kind of like they're not left to think things are happening, you know, they don't just find out when things are happening as they happen. There's kind of a bit more of a plan of, you know, what's going to go down. But, hey, man, what you said sounds really similar to how I do it. Like, in the olden days, if a bride was over it, I'd probably be thinking, look, I got to check these boxes. You know, I need these shots.
Which you've put on yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's more a case of maybe I'm thinking, what will people think?
Totally.
You know, when they look at this album, they'll be like, he didn't even do this. He didn't even do this. He's useless. Mm. But yeah, man, like these days, the first thing I do is I just say, hey, let's talk about it. How are you feeling?
Mm.
What would you like to do? Like, what time is it now? And something I often say to people is, all right, we are 20 minutes away from the venue. What time do we need to be back? Okay, cool. What time do you want to absolutely leave here?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to make you feel great? What time do you want to be out of here?
Mm.
And it's nice to have that number all set because everyone's kind of on the same page. And then when you get to that time, sometimes the bride might be like, you know what? Things are going really well.
Yeah.
Let's just stretch it out 15 minutes.
Or you say like, look, I know you want it to go now, but just there's a really cool shot I'd love to take in there. And they know that there's like a time limit. So they know after this, they're going to be going back.
Yep. Mm. So I'm always trying to keep people aware of time and aware of my sequence of events and also just try and make it so the boys can just hang and the girls can hang and I'm not too, don't take up their sort of attention too much.
I agree totally.
But if a bride's really super over it, I'll just pull the pin in a heartbeat.
So good.
I did have a really awkward one late last year where... the bride's... The term meltdown comes to mind. It wasn't a full meltdown. It was just like a mini meltdown where her hair was all wrong. And I think that... She just... You know, some people just don't like having their photo taken.
Yeah.
But they still want to have the whole experience.
Sure.
And, you know, she was very pretty and everything. She just had a bad moment. And I was just like, look, I have got no shots of the two of you together, nothing.
Mm.
And I had said to her the day before, like, do you trust me just to run the day, you know, run the photo shoot? And she's like, yes, Greg, totally trust you. And I just said to her, look, do you still trust me? And she was like, yeah, I do. But within a few minutes, she was like, nah. I'm done.
I'm done.
And I was like, okay, sweet.
You can't worry about that, eh? Like, you just can't. I mean, I think we need to understand that people don't share the same sort of view of importance of those sort of photos, and ultimately it's their day. And yeah, if I have that situation and I just say, look, I don't have very many photos of the two of you. This is a lot less than I would usually do, and I would like some more to deliver what I feel is my best work and to deliver what you've seen on my website. I feel we need to do more. However, if you don't want to, as long as you understand that, I'm more than happy to stop. So like I kind of explain it in a way where, in a quick way, because obviously it's their wedding and there's a lot going on and I don't want to spend the whole time explaining the pros and cons of stopping. But yeah, if they want to, yeah, I'll just go shoot the reception and sit on a couch. Like, that's fine.
And I would be inclined to, you know, touch base with them later and say, hey, like, you know, I wouldn't be saying this, but in my mind, I'm thinking they've had a chance to relax. They've talked to people now. Maybe whatever was on their mind is now taken care of because there are probably things going on in their mind that we couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, totally.
And then I might go up and say, hey, look, I've got this little shot over here. Would you be keen just to come and like stand here for a sec? But I would probably get everything set up so there wasn't like that 5 minutes of, like if you're using off-camera flash or something, I'd get everything set up so they just have to walk in, take the photo, and see you later.
Yeah.
Two weddings ago, I had like the dream couple, like both just beautiful. And... just nice and incredible, and it was really close to home and just everything about it was perfect. And at the end of the night, I had I put some of the photos on Facebook. There's this huge big barn where they had their reception, and I got this great photo, like backlit barn, the whole thing. And as I was taking that photo, the manager of the complex comes around and goes, hey guys, so we've got like two bottles of wine left. And
oh, really?
You know, this is at like 7:30 or something. Mm. And so the bride just went into a mad panic. Like, what? Two bottles of wine? Wow. Like, we've got like 140 guests and we've got two bottles of wine.
Oh, no.
And out where we are, like, there are no supermarkets that you can just go and get wine from. So I was due to finish at like 7:45 or something. And I was like, hey, we're in the middle of this shoot. You've obviously got some important stuff. And like, she wasn't even listening to me. I was like, so we're done. Like, this is, you just do anything you want. I'll just spend the rest of my time taking sweet photos of, you know, people hanging out.
Everything else.
You do your thing. And she was just like, thank you. Goodbye.
And she ran off to deal.
To deal with the wine. So yeah, I mean, you just got to pick your moment when you just like, don't contribute to the stress. See, that kind of makes me think about the worst thing that can happen is a really super stressed out bride who's very emotional.
Yeah.
And I've got this kind of, I don't know, this strategy where, because I think as photographers, we want to try and save the day.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it all before and we want to like fix the problem. And that's a real male thing that I've come to learn, fix the problem.
Sure.
But I've got this thing where it's about how much stress am I adding to the equation?
Yeah.
And if I do nothing, if I just sit behind my camera and just selectively take photos of things like not the bride when she's feeling extremely stressed, maybe the flowers or maybe the something else, I'm adding zero stress to her day.
Mm-hmm.
If I start taking photos of her, well, in that moment, I'm potentially adding a little bit of stress.
Mm-hmm.
If I go in and try and make solutions, man, I reckon it's a huge gamble because, yes, I could save the day. I could have like the solution. But I even with all the experience that we have, odds are it's probably not going to be the exact right solution.
Mm.
So you actually, it's like a 90% chance of adding stress because you're putting in your 2 cents. Everyone's going to stop and listen to you and then decide whether or not that's a good idea or not. And it's probably not a good idea. And so then that's just this whole big waste of time. And then you as a photographer slink away and go back to taking photos of shoes or whatever.
So are you saying basically when a stressful situation comes up, don't necessarily try and solve it. Just give them space to deal with it. And yeah, I agree.
I'd say be very careful as to when you chime in and say, oh, I've got a great idea. Because
it
just, you run the risk. It's always a risk. Are you really going to solve the problem or are you just going to add more mess to what could already be a messy situation?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Sometimes a less is more is definitely my approach, unless I'm very sure of something.
Yeah.
Oh, you're sorry.
Cool, man.
should we call it a day of that? Yeah, all right.
Let's do it. Oh, bro.
And on that yawn.
Yeah, that was terrible. All right. Hey, man, can I have something people should make snap it?
Yes, do it.
Everyone go to gtmetrics.com, put your site in there with the correct server location and see if you can't speed your site up because fast sites are good.
Sweet.
Boom.
All right, pal.
All right, bro. See you next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.